We will dive in our Savior's teaching on the Bible, okay? We look at the verse there, Luke 24, verse 44. Let's read it together as a starting point, and I'll explain and we'll go through, okay? Ready? 1, 2, begin. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me, okay? So, the Lord Jesus Christ, you take note of Luke 24. Luke chapter 24 is the last chapter in the book of Luke. Okay, Jesus have already raised from the dead, and he was going to be on his way back home to heaven. But before that, he was teaching the people and saying, look, everything that I told you about me were actually written already in the Old Testament. How do I know the Old Testament? The Bible says which are written in the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and then in the Psalms concerning me. Okay? Jesus was referring to the Old Testament. Okay, so if you can take note, if you want to write down somewhere in your Bible, that phrase refers to the Old Testament. Now, through the life of our Savior's youth today, what we want to do is, what was Jesus' attitude towards the Bible? What he said about the Bible, and how he used the Bible, how he approached the Bible, we want to imitate because he's our Savior, and so we need to understand from the Bible how he did it, so we want to do the same, okay? So I'll give you some basic thoughts about the Bible first. Number one, the phrase scriptures, Jesus used the word scriptures many times. The word scriptures in the Greek means graphē, meaning words. Words. The Lord Jesus wasn't just talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about specific words. Example, Genesis 1 verse 1 says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? Now, when Jesus said that, or rather when the Bible wrote that, those were the words of God. Those are the words of God. Okay? And we have to be very clear. The phrase scriptures means individual words. The Bible oftentimes associates scripture with the words spoken by God. I think you all have a little chart there, do you? Okay, just refer to the chart, okay? Alright, I'll just read. And I want you to compare the Old Testament and what does the New Testament say, okay? In Isaiah 28, verse 16, therefore, thus saith who? The Lord God. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on this stone, he that believeth on Jehovah God shall not make haste. In other words, he will not be in a hurry. In other words, he will not be anxious. But look at Romans 10, verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay? Shall he that believeth shall not make haste, has the same idea, shall not make haste. So in the Old Testament, it says the Lord God said. In the New Testament, Paul says it's the scripture that says. What God said is the same as what the scripture says, okay? Another very clear one, Exodus chapter 9, verse 13 to 17. And the Bible says, the Lord said unto Moses, God said to Moses, it was what spoken by God, rise up early in the morning, stand before the Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, and in every deed, very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So in the Old Testament, Exodus, Moses said, or rather Moses wrote, the Lord said unto Moses. But in the New Testament, Romans 9:17, the Bible says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. So in the Old Testament, the Lord said unto Pharaoh. In the New Testament, the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. What does that tell us? The scripture equals to what God said. We have to understand this from the outset. Because the entire Bible we have in your hands, when we realize that these are the very words of the living God, we don't do Bible study for fun. We're studying what God says, okay? So when Jesus used the word scripture, it's oftentimes referring to what God said himself. Okay, any questions? All of us, especially teenagers, as you grow up, remember when you read your Bible, those are not just the words of an author. Those are words of the King of Kings. I remember one pastor who said, the words in your Bible are the voice of him that sits on the throne. Something that we have to value very highly. After this, we'll see what Jesus said about that, okay? Another thought about the Bible that Jesus had was only the Old Testament. He only had the Old Testament at his time, okay? But the Old Testament that Jesus had was continuously on his lips. He knew the Old Testament very well. In other words, he knew the Bible he had very well. All right? I gave a whole list of things there so that you can actually refer. Example, in Matthew 19, Jesus talked about the institution of marriage. Genesis chapter 2, institution of marriage. Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, Jesus talked about Abel in Genesis 4. Okay, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias was the last prophet in the Old Testament. Jesus basically covered the Old Testament. Matthew 24, verse 37, Jesus talked about the days of Noah. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And that was spoken of in Genesis 6. I just go through that so that for you to understand, through the ministry of Jesus, he referred to the Old Testament again and again and again and again and again. It showed that he had intimate knowledge of what the Old Testament says. Okay? Then in Matthew 8:11, and I say unto you that many shall come from east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And that was spoken of in Genesis 12, when God called Abraham to go out into the land of promise. Luke 17:29, he talked about Sodom and Gomorrah, but at the same day, Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That was spoken of in Genesis chapter 19. So Jesus referred to that incident as well. Mark 12:26, as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush, interesting, today many liberal commentators said, the first five books cannot be written by Moses. Okay, those are the liberal commentators who said that Jesus said was written by Moses. Alright? I don't know about you. You want to listen to the commentators or listen to the words of our Savior? The first five books were written by Moses by divine inspiration. Is it hard to believe that God, even though Moses lived many years after the creation of man, that God cannot reveal to Moses how the world came into being? Alright? It's just, if you believe in a supernatural God, that is all possible. If you choose not to believe, that's why faith is so important in the Christian faith. Okay? Now, moving on. Some people can't make the connection because they haven't put faith in God. And by the way, if we believe in evolution, I just want to touch on this, so important, because there may be a contrary camp that say, well, in the same way, we believe in evolution already. Also, do you realize evolution and Christianity, creation, are religions? Evolution is not a tested fact. You cannot prove evolution. From where do you prove evolution? Because no one was there. No one observed. To say that evolution was science is actually contradicting yourself, because science is something supposed to be observable, yes? It has to be observable by natural laws. No one has observed evolution. It's not true. Whereas in the laws of science, many times have been attested to by the Bible as well. Okay, just want to touch on that very quickly. Moving on. Then in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that's in Numbers 21. John 6:58, Jesus talked about the fathers eating manna. Okay, we know that happened in Exodus 16. Matthew 12, verse 48, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation. Who's the queen of the south? The queen Sheba. Okay, not Sheba the bear. Okay, not in the in Singapore Zoo. Queen of Sheba, who came and tested Solomon. Jesus referred to the account. It happened in 1 Kings chapter 10. Luke 4:26, Jesus referred to the widow at Zarephath. That's in 1 Kings chapter 17. Many days, lepers were in Israel. In 2 Kings 5, Jesus referred to Naaman the Syrian. Luke 4:27, in his preaching. And then, these are the many passages, and there are many other passages Jesus referred to in the Old Testament, which tells us one thing. Jesus knew the Old Testament very well, and he preached from it. He expounded it. All right? Why? Because the Old Testament pointed to him. All right? Another point about the Scriptures, Jesus had full confidence in the Bible. This is important. Jesus had full confidence in the Bible. In the life of the Lord Jesus, he never once warned the people against supposed errors in the Old Testament. Okay, I read a quote from one of the pastors who wrote this book. He says, whenever our Lord referred to the Scriptures, He invariably did so in terms calculated to inspire the most absolute confidence in every word. And the whole record of Jesus' life fails to furnish one single exception to this rule. That simply means in the entire ministry of Jesus, not one time did he cast doubt on the Old Testament. Not one time. And that's very important. Because if our Savior trusted the Old Testament, so can we. Amen? If our Savior trusted the Old Testament, and by logical faith, the New Testament as well, we can trust the Bible. Why are we doing? Why do we study the Bible? We don't study about the Bible. We study the Bible, the contents. Why? Because our Savior had confidence in it. Okay? Moving on. The Old Testament is the written word. The Lord Jesus is the living word. Okay? So I'll give you some references to that. Both are light. In Proverbs 6:23, the Bible says, "For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and the reproofs of instructions are the way of life." Okay? The commandment is a lamp and the law is light. John 8:12, the Bible says, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." The Bible says in the Old Testament, the law of God is light. Jesus says, "I am the light of this world." Our faith is not based on just written word. It's based on the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christianity is not a religion. It's a living relationship with a living Savior. Because our living Savior has the Word of God. And when we are close to Him, His words become our words. Alright? We'll talk about that as we go along. Okay? Both are truth. In Psalm 85 verse 11, "Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven." John 14:6 says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth." Jesus didn't say, "I come to give you truth." No, He said, "I am the truth. Whatever you know of me is truth that you can use for your life." And that's why Jesus is so important for us as Christians. And you need to be in love with Jesus, because once you're in love with Jesus, you know all about Him. You can live that life out, all right? Both are spiritual food. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, the Bible says, "And He humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." That's Deuteronomy 8:3. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." If you will partake of Jesus, in other words, see, in the Catholic Church, it is taught that when you eat the bread, it transubstantiates, it becomes, right, the body of Christ. Jesus wasn't talking about that. He wasn't talking, he was, it's not possible for the Bible to teach cannibalism. Not possible. Okay? But Jesus says, when you receive the bread, when you receive, it's like when you're eating food, going, the food becomes part and parcel of you. Does that make sense? It has to be. The dirty part goes out, the good parts become part and parcel of you. That's what Jesus means when you say, "I am the bread." When He says, "I'm the bread of life," you eat the bread, He becomes part and parcel of you, your thinking, your emotions, your trend of life. When you receive Jesus in your life, He becomes your life. That's what Jesus meant. Unfortunately, many people today push that and say, "No, I don't want Jesus. I want religion. I don't want Jesus Himself." Okay, but Jesus is the spiritual food. That's why we study the Bible. That's why you need to read the Bible. Because if you don't have spiritual food, okay? And Deuteronomy 30 verse 15, both are life. See, God says, "I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil." John 14:6, "I am the truth, way, the truth and the life." Jesus is the life. Life doesn't come from anywhere except through Christ. You need Jesus in your heart so they can live, okay? Alright, the next one is the next point about the scriptures. The Lord Jesus always referred to the scriptures or the Bible in His ministry. Alright, let me read a few verses. Mark 12:10, "Have ye not read this scripture?" Jesus refers to the Old Testament. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." John 5:39, "Search the scriptures." Jesus mentioned the scriptures again. "Search the scriptures." John 10:35, "The scripture cannot be broken." That's the confidence of Jesus Christ. The scripture, the word of God, cannot be broken. Matthew 4 verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." This is the belief of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll move on to more beliefs later. Okay, any questions? These are the starting point of Jesus' words regarding the Bible in his ministry. I hope from now on you can see Jesus had a very high honor for the Bible. Okay? The Lord's attitudes towards the Bible. What is his attitude? Firstly, he believed the Bible. Okay? He believed the Bible. Luke 24, verse 25, he says, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Jesus said, look, in my whole ministry, I've been telling you about what the prophet said. And you guys, coming to the end, when you see the fulfillment of the Bible, you guys are so slow to believe it. And Jesus himself believed the Bible. Okay? What does he believe about the Bible? I want to highlight certain things that Jesus made very clear in his ministry with regards to the Bible. Number one, he believed in the inspiration of the Bible. Because he said, "These are the words which I speak unto you whilst yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me." Do you know how long? When was the book of Genesis written? Anyone? Sorry? Moses. Written by Moses. Okay. All right. The timing of creation probably hovers around between 4 to 10,000 BC. Okay. Time of Moses, written between 2000 to 1005 BC. So the time of Jesus, Genesis was written 2,000 years ago. But yet Jesus says, these are all the things that God has said so 2,000 years ago, and he has to be fulfilled concerning me. That's inspiration. Okay, he believed in the inspiration of the Bible. Number two, he believed the Word of God will never pass away. He believed the Word of God will never pass away. Okay, Matthew 24, verse 35. Is the verse there? I think I just gave you the reference, right? Let me just read that. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." That's what Jesus said. God's words just will not. He believed that the Bible will not pass away. Okay? Next thing, he believed the Bible is spiritual life. John 6:63 is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then in John 6:68, Simon Peter, you know, after Jesus preached a great message on feeding of the 5,000 and the bread of life, the Bible said many people walked away from God. And Jesus looked at his disciples, "Will ye also go away?" You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is not concerned. When the word of God is preached, multitudes will reject Jesus. You know who Jesus is concerned about? He's concerned about those people who knows him. And he asked the question of his disciples, "Will you also go away? Are you offended by what I said?" How did Simon Peter answer? Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou have the words of eternal life." I hope that is the belief of every one of us. Who are you going to go to? Are you going to go to your friends, religion, philosophy? No, we go to Jesus because he has the words of eternal life, okay? So Jesus believed the Bible is spiritual life. Let's all turn to Matthew 7:24, okay? The next one, this is important. Jesus believed the Bible to be the foundation of life. John chapter 7, verse 24-20. Jesus believed the Bible to be the foundation of life. And by the way, it's for everyone that's created on planet Earth, not just for Christians. Some people may say, "Nah, Brother Johnny, I don't believe in that. I have my own foundation." Well, Jesus says, if you will have other foundation, you are building your life on sand. But you build your life on the Bible, that's your foundations. All right? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24-27, let's read the whole passage together. Okay? Ready? 1, 2, go. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's very fascinating to actually read this passage. The fascinating part about this is this. The Bible says, the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. The Bible repeated it two times. One time for the house that was built on the rock. One time for the house that was built on the sand. What does that tell you? The same problems of life will face these two groups of people. And the one that will stand is the one built upon the rock. And the person who builds upon the rock is the person who hears the word of God and do them. Jesus made it very clear. He made it very clear. You know, as a pastor, I've seen many people over the years in ministry. Christians have the same problem. How many of you have financial problems sometimes as Christians? The world has financial problems, right? How many have sickness problems? The world has sickness problems, right? How many of you have marital problems? The world has marital problems, right? How many have worries and fears about the future? The world also have, right? Why are we Christians still why can we still be cheerful and happy? Because we build our house on the rock. We may not know the future, but we know the one who holds the future. Amen? You know, it's so sad when I was working in the hospital one time and I went to the ICU. And you know, in ICU is a sad place. You see, parents crying because I work in the children's hospital. So in the ICU, usually children, you know, head injury or you know, bone deform or with chromosomal problems and all that. And the parents will be in there and cry, why like that? And they'll cry and all that. I was working with another lady whose son came. There were some problems. But you know, it's totally different type of behavior because she's a Christian and said, well, I just trust the Lord and do my best. I have a friend today. I didn't know until I saw, actually, on the news, I think I shared before, his son has severe cerebral palsy. Those who know cerebral palsy, it's just like that. And you know what? You can be quite cute when you're 2 or 3 years old, but you're not very cute when you're 20 years old. And his son is 20 years old, bedridden for the last 20 years. And you know what they say, as husband and wife, as a Christian, this child is a gift from God. You can only say that when you build your house upon a rock. Amen? And you can go through life, and you know what? He finds joy every time the son, you know, even children that like that can smile. And every time the child smiles, it brings joy to their hearts. Alright, so build your house on the rock. Put your trust in Him. The Bible is the foundation of life. You cannot get through life without the Bible. Because it's just like trying to get through life, trying to steer a boat without an engine. You're not going to go anywhere. Alright, and when the storms come, you're going to sink. Okay, any questions? What else does Jesus believe? Maybe I'll just have some participation. I'll give you some verses you read. Maybe Brother Francis, you can turn to Mark 12, verse 24, Mrs. Anida, you can look at Matthew 26, verse 54, Brother Desmond, if you can take Mark 14, 49, then see, Sister Jamie, if you can take Luke 11, 28, Sister Jingyi, you can take John 12, 48, Joanna, you can take John 8, 32, and Catherine, you can take John 17, 17, Brother Tim, you can take Matthew 5, and verse 19, Yes, okay. All right? Okay. Mark 12, 24.
Okay, Mark chapter 12, verse 24. And Jesus answering and said unto them, do ye not therefore because ye know that the scriptures
neither no. the power of God. Okay, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. Jesus believed if one did not know the Bible, we will go astray. The word err, E-R-R, means to go astray. It is very significant for us. Jesus believed, if you do not know the Bible, you will go astray. Why do you think many young people go astray today? Because they don't want to submit to the authority of the Bible. Next week, we talk about authority. We're going to talk about authority of the Scriptures. Jesus said, do we not therefore err? Aren't you going astray? Because you know not the Scriptures, not the power of God. Many Christians, why do Christians backslide? Why do Christians don't serve God anymore? They don't know the Bible. Actually, they know, but they don't believe it. They don't obey it. Neither do they know the power of God. You know why some Christians are in troubles all the time? They do not see the power of God working in their lives. Okay? If Jesus believed, if one do not know the Bible, we will go astray. Please take that seriously. Please take that seriously. Okay? Next one, Matthew 26, verse 54.
Matthew 26, verse 54.
Mark 14:49.
I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled.
Jesus believed the scriptures must and will be fulfilled. Do you believe that? Jesus believed. You see, in Matthew 26, the context was what? People were coming to arrest Jesus. Okay? And then Jesus is telling these people, I was daily with you in the temple preaching. You don't want to come and catch me. Now in the time of darkness, you are coming. Of course you will come. Otherwise, how else is the scriptures going to be fulfilled? Jesus has the intention. It's very clear. The Bible has to be fulfilled. Do we as Christians believe that it has to be fulfilled? You know, we're not just talking about prophecy. We're talking about even the daily lives. The Bible says, can you take fire in your bosom and not be burnt? What does it mean? Can you play with fire and not get burnt? That's what the Bible says. The practice for us, can we take sin? Can we take wrong things in our life and not get burned by it? The answer is, no. The Bible will fulfill itself. Does that make sense? If you don't follow the financial principles of the Bible, you will fall into debt. You will. If you don't follow the fathers, if you don't follow God wanting us to be training our children the way it should go, in the education that will encourage him in the right direction, you go to the direction of the world, your children go in the direction of the world. It will fulfill itself. Train up a child in the way it should go, when he saw, he will not depart from it. And we take away that element of God, you take away God. And the Bible will fulfill itself. Because God just doesn't lie. Alright, that's what Jesus believed about that. Okay, the next one, Luke 11:28. Jesus believed that blessings come from obeying the word of God. Do you agree with that? It's very clear. Yea, blessed are they. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus believed that blessings come from obeying the word of God. Do you believe that? I know it's sad. Some Christians, they want to choose what they want to obey. No, God says you obey the whole counsel of God. Okay, John 12:48. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus believed the Bible will judge us at the last day, will be our judge at the last day. When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible will be open. And God will judge us out of this book. That's what Jesus believed about the Bible. You know what Jesus says? You don't have to believe me, but you do have to believe the Bible, because at the judgment seat, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, at the great white throne, the Bible will be open. And we will be judged from this book. Alright? That's what Jesus believed about the word of God. Okay? Move on. John 8:32. Jesus believed that knowing the truth of the Bible will set people free. Are you bound by sin? Are you bound by pride? Are you bound by selfishness? Are you bound by things of this life? Bound by fear? Jesus says by knowing God's truth, it will set you free. It will. It will set you free. Why is it that some cancer patients dying stage 4 have the joy of the Lord in their hearts? It sets them free from the fear of the illness. Why are there some people, many missionaries on the field, Hudson Taylor for one. Every day they struggle with finances that don't come in. But you know what? They say God is able to provide. And it sets them free from financial fear. When you trust God. The truth shall, because perhaps he had this verse in mind, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. That's the Bible. Knowing the truth of the Bible will set you free. What are you afraid of today? What are you afraid of today? Isaiah 26:3-4, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. What are you afraid of today? But when you know the truth that God is my everlasting strength, what am I supposed to be afraid of? Does it make sense? Hebrews 13:5 also says, therefore, I shall boldly say the Lord is my helper. What shall I fear that man should do unto me? Okay? When you know the Bible, it sets you free. That's what Jesus believed. That's what we need to believe as well. John 17:17. Jesus believed the word of God is truth. In other words, when you have your own thinking, that's your thinking. But when you open the Bible, there is truth. and truth cannot be corrected. 1 + 1 = 2. It cannot change that. And that's why when God gives truth of life, we need to listen to what He says. Because it is true, it is right, and when we live by it, we will have the blessings of life. Okay? Jesus believed the Word of God is, the Bible is truth. Matthew 5, verse 17 and 18. Is there anyone? I brought him. Be fulfilled. Okay? Jesus believed. Okay, Jesus says, think not that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I've not come to destroy but to fulfill. Jesus believed the Bible must be kept and obeyed. There's no two ways about it. Our Savior is very clear. But Brother Johnny, I thought we are set free from the law. We are set free from the law of sin and death so that we can keep the law of God, of peace, of love, of loving one another, of being kind, of forgiveness. Last time, we were bound by the law of sin. We cannot forgive. Now we are set free from the law of sin. We can forgive. Amen? That's what it means to be free. Don't think, oh, I'm no longer under the law. Yes, you are no longer under the law of sin, that you cannot do the right thing, but now you can. Last time, you were very selfish. You don't want to give. But after Jesus saved you, you realize, hey, my Savior is a giver. He gives. He sets me free from myself. It gives me the power to give and bless someone else. Does that make sense? Can you see the difference? Okay, Jesus believed. We're here. We're all bound by law of sin, self and selfishness. But Jesus came to set us free from all that so that we can be a blessing to other people. You know, many of you are saved because someone was set free by Jesus Christ and came to share with you the gospel that you can have life too. Amen? God wants us to have that kind of freedom as well. The Bible must be obeyed. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Did I give to anyone? Okay, let's turn there. Okay, this is the last one. And this is when I read this, this is very, very interesting. What did Jesus believe of the Bible? Matthew 5, 19. Let's read that. Ready? One. Matthew 5, 19. Ready? One, two, go. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now read this. What do you think Jesus was pointing at? Let me just give you that. Jesus believed the way we handle the Bible determines our standing before God. I say again, Jesus believed the way we handle the Bible, whether we... See, if anyone you break it, and see, someone will say, "Ayah, I just stolen. It's okay to steal. No, it's okay. Ayah, once in a while, it's okay. Once in a while, you tell a lie, it's okay. Tell a white lie, green lie, purple lie, it's okay once in a while." Jesus said, if we break a commandment and teach men so, we will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus said, did he not? But if a person says, "No, you're not supposed to lie, you know," and then you go and teach people so, and you don't do it, Jesus says you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus believed the way we handle the Bible determines our standing before God. That's why he says, would you agree? That's why he says, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Jesus taught the Jews. And that's what Jesus is teaching us today. How are you handling the Bible? Are we picking and choosing? And then, interesting, when we choose not to do certain things, and sometimes we will, in order to get people on our side, we will say, hey, actually, this one, don't have to do this. Jesus says, when we do that, we are considered least in the kingdom of heaven. Our standing before God. You know what? This is what Jesus believed. In John 8:47, let's turn there, okay? There's one more verse, I missed it. John 8:47. Okay? We're still referring to Jesus' belief in the Bible, okay? There's another Jesus' belief in the Bible. In John 8:47, this is so vital for all of us sitting here. Let's read together John 8:47. Ready? One, two, go. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He believed that hearing God's word proves that we belong to God. I don't know about you, that's scary for me. Jesus made it clear, the person who hears my word and does it shows that you belong to God. That's what he says. He says, he that is of God hears God's word. Ye therefore hear them not. You're not willing to listen to it. Why? Because you are not of God. And Jesus was very clear because he was talking to a group of Pharisees and scribes and in general, religious people or people who had religion. You know, there are many people who are in churches today. They say, I don't believe the Bible. I don't want to live the Bible. Jesus says, if you don't hear the words, you don't belong to him. Wow. That's scary. He believed that hearing God's word proves that we belong to God. Why are we so uptight about obeying God's word? Because God's word has many elements. One, it gives us salvation. It gives us light in our lives. It provides life. It gives us direction in life. It changes us from the inside. It helps us to be a blessing for others. It helps us to be the Lord and salt and light of this world. Can you see there's so many blessings of the Bible? And that God says, look, if you don't want to listen to those, you will live in darkness. We may have opinions, but opinions are darkness if it's not in the Bible. Let's turn to Isaiah 8, verse 9. 8, verse 20. Let me, this is a separate one. The verse just came to me, Isaiah 8, verse 20. And we are looking at what Jesus said. And many people will tell you many things about salvation. The Jehovah's Witness will tell you this, and the Catholics will tell you this, and some Baptists will tell you, say, I include it because some Baptists are not teaching right as well, not based on God's word. But you know what? Ambassador Baptist Church will go wrong if you don't stay in the Bible. Amen? If we are not in the book, we have gone wrong. Isaiah 8, verse 20, the Bible says, let's read it together. One, two, go. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8, verse 20. Memorize this. You know, it doesn't just cut across to prophets or pastors preaching. It also goes to the very counsel you give one another as Christians. I shared before, I think, on Friday night, whereby if a person says to do something that is wrong, yeah, it's okay to lie once in a while. There is no light in that kind of counsel. You only bring the person further into darkness. So when Jesus believed that when we hear his word, we belong to him. And because he's in the light, we will then be able to walk in the light. Okay? Any questions? This is what he believed. Okay, point number two, Jesus' attitudes to the Bible. He taught the Bible. He taught the Bible. In Luke 24, verse 27, let me just read. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. After this, we make the application, okay? I just want to say Jesus, throughout his whole ministry, just basically taught the Old Testament and what the prophet said about him. He had no words of his own. The Bible, Jesus is very clear. My doctrine is not mine. It came from the Father. Okay? So he expounded the scriptures. Number three, Jesus' attitude about the scripture, he used it to fight temptation. A very clear passage in the Bible, Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus had to fight temptation, okay? He used direct quotes from the Old Testament. I put them there so that you can refer to them. Is it actually printed out? I just give you the reference, right? But what I can do is educate people to read them so you can be regular. Jairo, you can turn to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Let's all turn to Matthew 4. I get this, because you just read the quotes from the Old Testament. Jairo, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Brother June, you can take Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. And Sir Ellison, you can take Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. Okay? Okay? Jesus used it to fight temptation. After the 40 days of fasting in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says he wasn't hungered, he was hungry. Okay, you will be hungry if you haven't eaten for 40 days. Okay, after that, Jesus was hungry. And then in Matthew 4, verse 3, let me just read. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. What did Jesus say? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jairo, can you read Deuteronomy 8, verse 3? Okay, it's interesting. Jesus was hungry. Satan came. The Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. Jesus says, what you're telling me, Satan, is very basic to human life. Food. But Satan, I'm telling you, obeying God's word is more important than even your basic necessities. I say again, that's what Jesus is saying. Food is important to me now, I'm hungry. But Jesus is saying, my basic needs is not as important as in obeying the word of God. And I want you to see Deuteronomy 8, because when Jesus said that, he said, I'm doing this to show us as Christians a principle. We can have all kinds of reasons for why we do things, but when God is clear in his word about a principle, we obey it irregardless of what we think sometimes. And we have to obey God as first. And the reason why God did that was because God wanted to teach us to obey his word. Because in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, let me just read, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. In the Old Testament, God had to teach the children of Israel, look, I fed you with manna on a daily rating basis, and the next day you're not supposed to take two portions. Remember, everyone is supposed to take one portion. Why? And the next portion, if you keep 2 days, what happened? The second portion will rot, right? God was trying to teach the children of Israel, look, you don't go by what you think, you go by what I say. I say, 1 day, ration for 1 day, don't try to, you know, Singapore kiasu, right? They want 2 days, always want to have bonus so that we have always stand by. God says, no, I'm not going to teach you that. I teach you, you obey me, and you have continuous blessings every day. By the way, God fed the children of Israel for 40 years without fail, amen? He provided water for 40 years without fail. He provided them shoes and clothing that did not wear out. We buy clothing that can wear out in 1 or 2 days. No, not 2 days, 2 years. But God preserved their clothing in the desert heat for 40 years. God can provide. But God wants to teach the children of Israel, look, I know I can provide, but I need you to learn. You need to follow me. Okay? So that's what Jesus was saying. Temptation to presume upon God. Matthew 4 verse 6. The Bible, Satan came to Jesus. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it's written, he shall give thee his angels charge concerning thee. And thy hands, in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is written, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 6 verse 16, please. Okay, Jesus pointed back to the Old Testament again. Don't tempt God. Don't test God. You know what it means? Many Christians say this. I just do this. I'm sure God will forgive me. Have you tried that before? I just go ahead and do it. I believe God will forgive me. God will forgive. But you fail to see that as a Heavenly Father. In the Old Testament, I mentioned again, there is no sacrifice for presumption. If we know what is right, and we do it, in the Old Testament, it's death. God says, I'm not going to provide you any presumption. When we know what is right to do, and you go and do it, it's sin. Unless we confess that presumption. Okay? But here, Jesus made it clear. The Bible did say, the angels are going to bear thee up. It is a promise of Scripture. You know what Jesus says? I'm not going to test God. I know God is true, but don't put me in the position that I would test the integrity of my Heavenly Father. You know, some Christians go against grace that way. They sin against grace. I'm sure God will forgive me, so I'm sure things will turn out fine. Don't tempt God's grace. When we know what is right to do, do it. Because otherwise you'll be tempting the integrity of God. But Jesus believed. I think the key point, he actually used it to fight temptation. He drew it from the Old Testament. And he memorized it. The next one, temptation. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Again, the devil taketh him up in an exceeding high mountain, showing me all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And I just want to make a comment about this. Satan uses this even today. Singaporeans, all the things of this world I'll give to you. Just don't serve God. Just bow at my feet. I'll give it to you. Many Christians have bowed the idols of materialism and things of this world. not knowing that they are sacrificing their service for God for something that doesn't last. And that's what, you know what Jesus did? Get out of my sight, Satan. Get thee hence. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Where did he get it? Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. In Deuteronomy 6:13, you know what Jesus is? If you listen to the verse, in the Old Testament, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. You know what that means? Absolute loyalty to God. I will only swear by God's name. Not swear in a bad way, but swear as in, God is my God. And you're not going to take that away from me. I don't care if you give me the world. I'm not going to give up my Savior. And I will say to you, get out of my sight. I'm not going to worship you. I only worship God. And him only shall I serve. Remember, service in the Old Testament, when Jesus was referring to, has the idea. When the Jews came to the temple to worship God, you know what they do? They bring their offerings. They bring their service. Today, you know, the idea of worship is, oh, we worship. And we feel good. That's not worship. Singing can be part of worship. In the Old Testament, when Jesus talked about worship and service, worship is always synonymous with giving, actively giving time to serve. I know this cuts across in busy Singaporean life, but you know that is exactly what service is. You will commit time to something that you worship. That's why if you have any other gods before God, it's an idolatry. It's idolatry. And Jesus is very clear. I'm not going to have the kingdoms of this world. Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Okay? So Jesus used it to fight temptation. Let me ask you a question. How well do you know the Bible that you can use it to fight temptation? How well do you know the Bible that you can use it to fight temptation? How well do you know the Bible that it will guide you in your decision making? Whether it's career, whether it's job, whether it's work, whether it's the word, or whether it's your life, whether you should do this or not. How well do you know the Bible, fathers? Because you are supposed to be the spiritual guide of your family. How well do you know the Bible? Really, it irks my heart sometimes when fathers are not in FBI. And when fathers are not in FBI, I'm not saying some of you have graduated, I thank God for that, but you know what, if our mothers know the Bible more than us, can I say this with all due respect to us? It's a shame. We're supposed to be the priests of the house. And we need to know the Bible. How in the world is our children going to be guided when we don't know the Bible and guide them? Not in your own opinions. Right? Not in what Stephen Covey says. It's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus believed. Okay? And I challenge you. Jesus' life. He used the Bible to fight temptation. Next one, point of all. His life, Jesus' life and work revolve around the will of God expressed in the Old Testament. Luke 18, verse 31. Let me just read that. Then he, Jesus, took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Jesus' life and work revolve around the will of God expressed in the Old Testament. And last point in Jesus' life, his attitude. Jesus' life was centered in fulfilling the will of God. Hebrews 10, verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, the whole Bible is written of me, to do thy will, O God. That is Jesus' attitude towards the Bible. Okay, any questions? Sometimes when you read the frank words of Scripture, I don't know about you, it cuts across what I think I should do sometimes. God convicted my heart about certain things as well. You know, this verse, for example, sometimes we try to, many times you ask this question, you know, that person says he's a Christian, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. Well, one of the indicators, Jesus said, if you don't hear God's word, it doesn't belong to God, full stop. That's what Jesus says. I'm not saying we don't think through, but Jesus made it very clear, if we have a heart that says, I don't want to listen to God's word, you don't belong to him. When listen means you can listen, you can understand, but ultimately listening always leads to action, belief. Okay? Some people just say, I'm not going to listen. I know people who will just, when the Bible is preached, they'll do this. You know, the sad thing for me is our handphones and our mobile phones are more important to us during the teaching of God's Word than the hearing of God's Word. I believe it is an affront to the face of God if you are surfing the net when the Bible is preached. Would you agree with me? Would you do that when the president is... Can I just, as pastor, just highlight this? I'm not saying sometimes there's urgency, that's fine, but if you are actively surfing the net, actively carrying a conversation with someone outside, when the Bible is being preached, that is an affront to the King of Kings. And that's why when Tim and all that put, let your silent off it, unless it's life and death. Let's say if Singapore is going to war and our military men have to be on, even they will put in silent mode because they can be activated any time. I understand. I know I'm stepping on some toes, but you know, it is an affront to our King. When during the message of God's Word, you are scrolling and looking at Wikipedia, I have seen people, I'll call on my eyes as I preach, that they are serving and doing something else as the Word of God is being taught. It's an affront. Jesus will never do that. Do you think he was, if technology was then, if you have a Galaxy Tab at that time, do you think he will be scrolling as the Word of God is being taught? No way. Christians, can I encourage you? Let's give God the honor he deserves and put away what we are doing. And can I encourage all handphones to be off during message time? Because this is what Jesus taught regarding Scripture. We need to have the same thing, okay? Personal reflection and application, some points for us. We need to treat the Bible as the Word spoken by God himself. If God speaks the Word, we need to treat it as that. That's point one. Number two, we need to know our Bibles well. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, we need to know the Bibles well. Point number three, we need to study the Bible to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is in the Bible that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Number four, we need to believe in the Bible fully. Everything, every word. Do you know that every word in the Bible is inspired? Every single word. It therefore follows that we should be obeying every and listen to every and believe every single word. Okay? Yeah? Some may challenge our understanding. But you know, it is important for us to believe the Bible fully. The inspiration of Scripture, the Bible is the foundation for life. Number five, we need to be teaching the Bible. We need to be teaching the Bible to ourselves. Fathers, how often do we spend time watching YouTube, Facebook? How long do we spend actually searching the Scriptures with regards to the future of your children? I'm not talking about referring to a book. I'm talking about, Lord, what do you say? What is my responsibility? We need to teach the Bible to ourselves. One of the sins of my life as a pastor is many times the Lord has convicted my heart some time back. I don't just study the Bible to preach. I study the Bible so I can grow. If I don't grow, you don't grow. You know what it means, fathers? If you don't grow in the Bible, your family will not grow. Because you're the priest. Okay, there's an encouragement and a challenge for you. Let's take things seriously. Because Jesus wants us to be teaching the Bible to ourselves. Number two, we need to be teaching the Bibles to our families. Don't just follow a book. Teach the Bible. When your children are older, if your children are two or three, fine. You know, you can read picture, Bible and all that. But when they're a certain age, you need to be discussing the Bible with your family. It's not just you teach it. It's actually answering their question. Because you know what? Teenagers have doubts. They challenge you. And you know what? The setting ought not to be a challenge. Oh, you say I'm right. No. It's about that. I don't understand this. Can you please explain? And that will explain in love and compassion. And when that says something, okay, but I still don't understand, but you know, but pray for me. Let's pray together so I can understand. so that we can have a loving discussion on the Word of God that will affect us. We need to be teaching the Bible to ourselves, our families. We need to be hearing teaching in church. And we need to be teaching the Bible in the church too. There will come a time, soon hopefully, that, you know, the fathers here, you'll be given opportunities to teach. I shouldn't be hogging this. I think the men in the church that can teach, we need to teach too. That's why we need a bigger place. We need more classes for younger people to cater to their needs. We need to be teaching to ourselves, our families, the church, and we need to be teaching the Bible to the lost. You know, we need to get to the stage whereby when someone needs to be saved, you don't call the pastor. You do it yourself. Amen? Isn't that supposed to be the way? Let's get past stairs whereby, oh, I need someone to lead someone to Christ. Ask God. I'm not saying it's easy, but say, God, your life is in me, your word is in me. Give me, I will do it, Lord. Give me the grace. You know, God can use you at that time as well. Okay, another point, we need to use the Bible to fight temptation. Don't use your own strength. You know, many Christians fall in sin because they use their own strength to fight temptation. You know, not just as pastors, as youth leaders, as children, Sunday school teachers. You know, sometimes as fathers, you see your own children not using scripture, but using their own intellect to fight temptation. By the way, you will never win Satan's intellect when you fight temptation. You need to use God's word. You will always win if you use God's word and obey it. Okay, another point is, our life needs to be centered in doing God's will written in this book. I can say that, say, many Christians are looking for the pleasures and conveniences of life. And many of them are classified under the thing worldliness in this Bible. And when you push them back to the Bible, you say, no, I don't think I want that kind of life. What kind of life are you thinking of? You're a Christian. Then live the Christ life. Live the Christian life. Your Christian life ought to be the most valuable possession in your life as a believer. Did you know that? Because it is the life that saves you from sin. It is the life that will lead you in righteousness in this life. And it will be the life that will bring you to heaven. Amen? It is the most important life. And yet some Christians treat the Christian, it's a Sunday thing. I'll just come on Sunday, that's fine. Oh, may God help us to see. Jesus lived his faith every single day. He taught it every day. He ministered to people every day. He spoke Father's will on a daily, regular basis. So should we. Our life needs to be centered in doing God's will. Personal practices, we need to read daily. By the way, it's an instruction from God. This book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth. Thou shalt meditate what? Day in, day and night. Okay? Read it daily. Study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. The word study means to be diligent. How diligent are we in the Word of God? Many of us are more diligent scrolling like this than the Word of God. Okay? We need to get to studying the Word. We need to be memorizing it. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We need to share it. We need to be out soul winning. In the workplace, you need to be sharing the gospel with someone. I'm not saying it's easy, but I say, what about lunchtime? Why don't your friends give a tract or something? Make your faith known. Because when you make your faith known, it expresses your love for the Savior, because Jesus will do that. Can you imagine a day in the life of Jesus that he will never share the gospel? Can you imagine? Even in his words, he will talk about the Heavenly Father. You know, thank God that I have this job, you know. I don't know. It's just in the character of Jesus to share the Father. His light will shine, okay? Use every opportunity to learn the Bible. FBI, discipleship group, Friday night prayer meeting, youth group, Sunday Bible hour, Sunday worship, every fellowship that we have, the sword club, lambs, for the younger ones. So these are personal practices that are so important that God in his grace has provided. But Brother Johnny, we live in this very busy Singapore. I know. I work too. There was a speaker that said many times people in our line work, we work full time but get paid part time. Some others are very busy too. We're all busy. But none of us are ever too busy to spend time in something to us is the most important. Do you agree? Some of you will still make time to meet with your beloved. Is the Bible your beloved? Think about that for a while. Let's be consistent. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, we'll be finishing. The Bible says, "For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look." Jehovah was looking for someone. In fact, in verse 1, God was looking down and said, "Why are you building all this temple and structures for me for? All these things belong to me anyway." But God is looking for this. "But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and someone who trembleth at my word." And someone, when they hear the word of God, they will tremble. You know what it means? God is looking for someone who will love this book and will teach it, will live it, and will not give any excuses why they won't obey it. Can I say that this is the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ towards God's word? Would you agree with me? That this is the attitude that Jesus had with his word. But Brother Johnny, that is so hard. We are never called to do hard things. It's hard because our heart needs to be surrendered. And for all of us, sometimes it does take a process of time. I'm not saying it's hard because of our flesh. We need to identify where the problem is. It's not hard because of this. Because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that is truth. So when you say, "But Brother Johnny, being a Christian is hard," Jesus said, "My burden is light." What does it mean? It's either you're right or God is right. And I dare bet, I'm not a betting man, but God is always right. His burden is easy. His yoke is light. The last point here is how your relationship with the scriptures will be how your relationship with God is. You can fool man, but you can't fool God. You know, as we go through these lessons on the Lord Jesus, you find that he's a very devoted, loyal person to the scriptures. He never acted outside of the word of God and the will of God. Would you agree with me? He said, I come to fulfill the law. I come to finish what God told me to do. And Jesus wants us to be like him. And that's why I believe that this series will help us to reorientate what is supposed to be the priority in our lives. Let's hear what the Savior says over the next few weeks. Today we talk about the scriptures. Revise it, read it. And you know, like I said on Friday night, if there's some struggles, let's meet up, pray. Say, "Lord, this area is hard." Pray, and God will make it easy as we seek him. Okay, any questions? Well, that's a word of prayer, right? Already 10:35, let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear from your word. Lord, I pray that the word of God will never be a burden to us. And sometimes, Lord, over the course of this week, we have many things that have happened in our lives. And sometimes when we come to church, Lord, our mindset is totally different. But I'm praying that your Holy Spirit will reorientate ourselves back to true north, to who you are, what your word says. That God, our lives will be centered on the scriptures, just as Jesus' life was centered on the scriptures. And I'm praying, Father, that every one of us, an ambassador, will live life worthy of the word of God. Lord, we know men of God gave their lives so that we can have the word of God today. If they esteem highly the word of God and gave their life for it, help us as Christians to at least love it and read it and apply it to our lives. Thank you, Lord. Pray for the next 25 minutes or so as we fellowship, we pray. Help us to bless one another with words of kindness and love. And may your word exude out of our lives and our attitudes especially as we allow the Holy Spirit to change us from inside. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.